one day. A blessed good morning and welcome to the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District Because He Lives radio broadcast. I would first like to thank our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, for their continued support of the radio broadcast. And before we start, let us start with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, with your people. Father, even now, we thank you for our sponsors and for the medium by which we would reach your people this morning. And Father, all that will be said and done in this session, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will be glorified. So just have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my name is Allison Lord-Bess, and I will be your host this morning. And in studio, we have Miss Rachel Gulfstone. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Yes. So today, Rachel is here to share about her illness and how it would have impacted her life and the challenges that she would have had and any experiences that she would have had as a result of this period of illness. So, Rachel, could you tell us about what happened on that day when you ended up in the hospital?
I can't really speak for the day because it was a blur, to be honest. I just remember feeling very weak, and I was supposed to be leaving home for some reason. I was just finishing up exams at UWE at the time, and I was laying on the bed, and I felt very faint. And then when I woke up, I was in the hospital. What induced it was that I had decided to fast, and I was like, I needed to get in that time with God. However, I was doing it blind in a sense, so I was not putting the right type of things in my body. So I was over consuming things that people will consider good for you when you're fasting, but they were high in sugar, and without me knowing, that would have caused me to then develop my condition, which is insulin resistance. So now it means that my pancreas, whilst it does create insulin, I need to make sure that I don't continuously have my body in a cycle of pushing out insulin. That's basically what caused it.
So it wasn't fasting. We just want to clarify.
No, it wasn't the fasting. It was the sugary things that I was consuming. And because that can lead to that condition, if not managed properly. But no, we're not saying that fasting causes it. No.
Okay, so when you woke up in the hospital,
I was confused. I was like, what is going on? So when I woke up, a nurse came to me, and it was in NICU. And she was like, hi, Rachel. And I'm looking at her like, hi. And she said, you know where you are? And it was like, no. And she said, you're in the hospital. And it was like, okay. And she said, you gave your parents a scare, but you know, we are taking care of you and da 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 da. So then I was laying on my bed, then just processing what she said. Because at the time when I woke up, like, nobody was there, like family or whatever. So I guess it was like either early morning or before visiting hours. I think I shed some tears because it was scary at first, because like, they didn't give me all the information initially. They gave me things in increments,
gradually, I guess,
to like, you know, not overwhelm me. But then I do remember once I was fully conscious and it was visiting hours, and I saw my mom. She came and she was like, you're up. And I was like, yeah,
it's cheerful,
you know,
it's cheerful.
And then it was like, what happened? And then, you know, she said what happened, and it was like, okay.
Just like that. Okay.
Just like that. It was like, well, this is the reality now, so no problem.
So what kind of impact do you think that scare had on your family? You spoke about how you felt, you know, you were scared and you were disoriented.
Yes.
You didn't know what was going on.
Yes.
How did it impact your family?
It impacted my family, I believe, in a way where it was like, it's always somebody's turn where health is concerned, because we had just buried one of my aunts like in 2021, and she was struggling with cancer. Then I was the next person's. But my relatives are the type of people that when anything happens, they rally around you. I think it scared my dad the most. He was, I guess, the most shell-shocked, because I am the type of adult but still child, where I'm very independent. I do what I need to do. So I guess seeing me in a state where for a minute, because at first I was unconscious for a period of time. So for a moment where you can't hear me, I'm not communicating with you, I guess it scared him. And I'm sure it scared my mom and everybody else, but I think everybody put on a brave face so that I wouldn't be then more concerned. But I think it had a negative and positive impact, because then I saw everybody rally around, everybody visiting, you know, checking
the support
in.
Support was there.
Yes.
So were there any signs leading up to this that something was wrong?
Yes, but I think when Proverbs 3:5-6 says, don't lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. I think I leaned so much on my understanding that I thought that if I did the troubleshooting myself, that I would have been able to recover. But the signs for me was the deterioration of my ability to have energy. So I started to become very weak. Like I had to walk and hold on to things. And then I was going to the bathroom a lot, like passing water very frequently, feeling thirsty a lot. But it was just like, I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. I didn't want to cause any concern. So I kind of felt like I could have dealt with it myself.
Mm.
So the Sunday before I was admitted, I actually preached. And I preached. And then I said, like, at the end, I think I'm finished. I need to go and sit down. Right? And then I think maybe like by the Wednesday, I was in the hospital.
Wow.
So yeah, there were definitely signs.
Wow. Huh. That was hard and sudden as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we spoke about your biological immediate family, but what about your church family? Because I know that you are involved in ministry and you just said that you would have preached this Sunday.
Yeah.
How did it impact? Because I know you and your young people being away from them, mm-hmm. I know it affected you missing them, mm-hmm. and it also would affect them as well, missing you. So how did it impact on the ministry?
Well, the church family, they were all concerned. And, you know, in this age of technology, everybody has a chat. So they were kept up to date by my mom and my dad. Because they didn't have my phone at first. And I think that gave me some time. And even when I had it, I wasn't communicating with anybody. It kind of like just gave myself the time to just be the person being taken care of for a change and not trying to like do everything for everybody. But where my youth are concerned, I remember seeing in the chat like them sending prayers, saying they missed me. They were very concerned. And one of the women who would have prepared me to walk into ministry, she was like, you know, we got this, you know, we can do it till you get back. So there was the encouragement, there was the concern, but it was also a case where they were in good hands, even in my absence, but they were still very concerned.
I had that support within the ministry.
I had people rallying around me.
As brothers and sisters, so we need to come together and support each other.
Yeah.
So would this have been the first time you would have been in the hospital?
Yes, for something as major as that, like, there will be times where you will go to your GP when you have like little things, but that was my first as an adult, I should say, because I had issues like with my tonsils as a child. But outside of that, that was my first adult experience being in the hospital. In the hospital, I visited people, but I've never been on a ward till then.
And you're talking about being in the ICU, so it had to be
it was serious. It was. My mom has said that in the hospital, they spoke about how they fight for the younger people because, you know, they want that you could recover. So at one point, it was on a ward. And then they said they're going to put me on ICU to better monitor me so that I will have the 24-hour, like, observation and so on. So, yeah.
You shared that you didn't have your phone at the beginning stages. How you managed with the solitude? What you did in those periods of
time? In NICU, there was, the rooms are obviously very different to the ward. So there was a TV in there. So I would watch TV. they were having all like Joyce Meyers and stuff like that. So it was still Christian content that I was digesting. I would do like devotions, you know, listen to music, stuff like that. So whilst I didn't have it, I didn't miss it, I welcomed the solitude, because I think then too, once you start to use it again and you start to interface with people, everybody can be, oh my gosh, So I took the opportunity to just not say anything until I guess I felt like I was ready to then, I guess, reintegrate back into that side of life. And like when it was in NICU, when it was in NICU, the nurses would talk with me and I sometimes would be encouraging them and all of that. So
even in your illness, you are still ministering. Ministry continues.
It does stop. It does not stop. I think it was more for them than it was for me when they reflected on it, because they would come down by my bed. They were semi-racial, I can't understand. And they venting to me, and my degree is in psychology. So naturally, mm-hmm. I know to be the listening ear. So I would crack jokes with them. We talk with foolishness. But I guess, though I was going through something, I think that what God wanted for me to also do in that time was to be a light to other people, I guess, not look like what I was going through. And I could honestly say that time, it was like a retreat of sorts. Like, though I was recovering, it was time that I needed to also see how they go through their days. Like, sometimes they will go to sleep and wake up and the same nurses on the ward. And it really made me appreciate them more for what they did. And it also caused me to pray and be like, Lord, you know, give them the strength, restore them, you know, open the doors that they could get the time off. Because it was an eye-opener for me and for that health care world.
Yeah. So the Lord would have placed you there.
Yeah.
Even in your illness, you can see that the Lord was still working. Mm-hmm. He was still using you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always remember one of my pastors would always say, don't let your circumstances
mm-hmm.
dictate your mm-hmm. level of worship. So you were still doing worship, not necessarily singing, but mm-hmm. you were ministering mm-hmm. to others even in your illness.
Yeah.
What did that did for you, and you think that did for you in your relationship, you know, your spiritual relationship? Because you would have had a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in ICU, the visiting hours are
very strict
and stuff. So you won't have the multitude of visitors mm-hmm. descending mm-hmm. on you. So mm-hmm. I know you had the motivational things on television and mm-hmm. so on. Mm-hmm. And you're ministering to others. But in your quiet time, your mm-hmm. one-on-one with God,
mm-hmm.
how was that? And how has that impacted on your life now?
Mm-hmm. I think, if I could say just one thing, it was what God allowed for us to reconnect on a different level to help me to refocus. Because I think too, with my condition, people talk about it in terms of when you consume too many sugary things. But the truth of the matter is that what causes it too is stress. I'm not sleeping well, and because I'm the type of person that I'm always going or I'm always doing, it was a case where it let me slow down and reprioritize, you know, my intimacy with God. It's still something that I am working on, because when you reintegrate back into life, the responsibilities and everything, they're there. And yes, people would understand you need time to recuperate and to catch yourself. But once you reintegrate back into reality, you have to be intentional to give God that intimacy. And when I was in the hospital, I was able to have that. I was able to be a lot more spiritually aware of what was going on as well. Because the hospital is a place where a lot is going on.
Mm-hmm. So many persons with so many different issues, you know. So what type of encouragement you would give others who might be going through the same thing? And I want you to state precisely what your diagnosis was
mm-hmm.
and, you know, share with other persons, encourage other persons who may be going through.
Mm-hmm. So my diagnosis was type 2 diabetes. I say insulin resistance because it can be reversed. it is more metabolic than anything else. In my research, is not only sugar. You have to give your body time to process food, because we as Barbadians, we snack a lot, we eat a lot, we will have breakfast and then midday we have a snack, and then we have lunch, then we have a snack, and that can affect you. And for not only me, but like women with PCOS, insulin is also a component, a preponent to weight. They have their situations as well. But my encouragement would be to, I would use the generic exercise, make sure you eat whole foods. So we have a lot of processed foods and everything that I think, realistically speaking, we have to start to eat things that are God's food instead of things that have all these artificial dyes and these sweeteners. Like, be intentional about what you put in your body, like things like juices and all of that, like have a lot of sugar. And whilst they can be used in moderation, and even with diluting, maybe start to wean yourself off of so much sugar and see how much better your energy levels are, how much better you feel. Exercise and involve God in everything when it comes to your health. Because I think that when we try to do it ourselves, we end up in situations that we weren't planning to be in. And I think that's what happened with me. I was trying to do it.
Everything.
I was trying to do everything, even spend time with God, but I did not consult him
about the other things
I was doing. I think if I had sought his guidance, I wouldn't have been drinking Powerades or whatever. I would have probably drank like coconut water, eat some watermelon to get him the electrolytes and so on. So now that I know, I'm doing different. And I think that just do research, involve God in everything. I can't stress that enough. Involve God in everything. I think sometimes we think we could do things and then be like, oh God, I got this. No. Involve him in everything. That way you would know this is a yes or no. I even know, like, when I want to eat certain things, I will hear the spirit say, you sure you want to eat that? No. Maybe, you know, we have a couple more hours.
Definitely had some like changes that you have to admit.
For sure.
It was easy. Sure. It's better now. I would like to say that it's better now that you have it under control. But in the initial stages, the temptations.
Listen, there were times where I just, and I'm not saying that you should binge or anything, but there were times where if it was something that I wanted to have, I would just have it. But it would be like, if you have this one thing now, then for the rest of the week, leave it out. Because I like, even healthy things, like I love a pineapple, but pineapples are very sweet. I like watermelon is very sweet. But if I do indulge, I just know that it's how I eat them within a meal. So if that is not the first thing you eat, that's the last thing you eat. You make sure you have your protein. You make sure you have your vegetables. And even with vegetables, there are vegetables that are starchy. You got to consider those. So like English potato. Me and English potato ain't going to par that often. I love a mashed potato. I love a shepherd's pie. But alternatives, other things. Other things that are complex carbs that what doctors talk about are slow release. That when you eat them, when they pass through your system, is not like a spike to your blood sugar. If it elevates, it's not like a high elevation. It's just like a, if you were at like a 7 point something, it might go up and it would be like 9 or whatever the case would be. So yeah.
Were you at the stage where you had to actually inject yourself with insulin?
I was, but for very short term. My doctor was like, I don't think you need to be on insulin ratio because your body is still producing insulin on its own. My GP said, you just shot your pancreas and your pancreas just needed to recover from it. That's what she
like,
said.
Like,
yes, essentially. So I was pulled off of insulin like within 2 weeks.
That is awesome. Yeah. And you did say that it is reversible.
It is
up to you now to maintain the correct lifestyle and diet in order to control
it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. So you have to take it in stride and do a lot of tweaking to your diet especially. And then if you pair it with exercise, then that will also help. Because when you exercise, insulin is released into the body already. So when you, especially strength training, like you use weights and stuff like that, when you do that and there is a raise, the insulin will go into your muscles as opposed to going into your bloodstream.
Wow. I didn't realize that it can go into different places. You really did a lot of research.
I had to because, like, I remember when I was going through the hospital and I was an outpatient, all the doctor had said to me was eat legumes and do this soup and have bread. And it was like, this is it. But I said to myself, no, there has to be more to this. There has to be more that can be learned than just eat like this, because that became tedious after. Well, that became like a chore to me where I'm just eating the same thing over and over again. It was like, give me ideas, give me options, give me alternatives, you know?
I can see that would make you depressed.
Exactly. And the first couple of months after, I did experience a high amount of depression and anxiety. And in the back of your mind too, this is a condition where if you don't manage it well, you witness the people who go through kidney failure. You watch the people who have to have amputations. And they don't want that. They don't want it. Because when you don't manage it, then you start to feel like how people talk about pains and needles in your legs and stuff like that. And if you start to not have feeling in your feet, that's where the concern is.
It should be.
Supplements, things like berberine and CQ. And I think, because you can also manage it without being on medication. There are supplements that can help you. But all of this has to come with research.
And so what are you on now? Medication or a combination?
I am on a combination of medication and supplements. But my doctor has reduced my doses immensely because she wants me to work out and eat properly. So I'm on one pill of medication.
How many you started on?
When I was first discharged, I was on metformin, I was on glucozid, the insulin, like I said, short term. And then I was pulled off of one or the other over time, right? So I'm now on just one, and then I am on supplements. So I mentioned berberine, they talk about that a lot, where blood sugars are concerned. The other one I mentioned, CQ10, that is to help, like, you not have those issues with, like, your nerves and so on, because you can't experience nerve damage.
Wow.
Digestive enzymes, things that will help with digestion. And also, what is recommended is that you intermittent fast, so you spend some time not eating within a certain amount of time, and then you use a short window to eat. Then you, like, finish eating early so that your body is rested and, like, not late at night. And I can't avoid it all the time, but for the most part, trying to not eat late, because then your insulin is elevated really long. There's something called the dawn phenomenon, where within, like, a 3 a.m. type of time frame, your insulin spikes. And then when you check your fast, it is elevated. So now you have to really let your body get accustomed to the change, so that when you start to do your fasting, blood sugars are not elevated and all of that. So, yeah.
When we first started, you said all of this started when you were fasting and still trying to do a lot of different things. So are you still able to fast? I know you talk about fasting, blood sugar, but I mean, in the way that you would have done it in the past, you know, are you still able to?
Yeah, but it is just a case where that is something that I have to let God guide me in. And I've had anxiety about doing it, because obviously you don't want to fall back into the same thing. But when I mentioned intermittent fasting, that can be a form of me fasting, using the morning time to spend with God and pray. Because I think sometimes we have this view of fasting where it's like to get something, but it's actually to, like, release and focus and prioritize God. So I will always be an advocate for it, because Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast.
Exactly.
So he reiterated that it's important for spiritual development and growth. And though I did it wrong, I'm not saying that it's something that you should not do. It's just that if you are going to do it, that you're going to do a 6-to-6 fast, make sure you're drinking some herbal teas, you know, having the electrolytes in your body, you know. And then when you break it with whole foods. Don't break it with like all the refined carbs and everything, because that is what your body will reject, because it was like, well, wait, my food was good just now, was it? And that is what happened with me. So,
yeah. So all of that, you went through all of this when you came home. How were you treated? Were they like kid gloves?
Listen, it was an egg, boy. Like, my father was like, "Are you going?" I was like, "Sir, I can't stay this house cool for forever." Like, my friends came and visited for a period. My mom has stayed home with me for a couple of weeks, so I did not reintegrate back in life like this. I really took time to like recuperate and like not try to thrust myself back into things. But there was a lot more eyes on me. When
not only the family,
everybody, and then when I reintegrated him back into reality, like everybody was watching, and you sure that you should be doing this, and it was like overwhelming. I appreciated it, but I still wanted to have my own personal thing where it's like I gonna deal with this and manage it on my own, because sometimes the eyes don't always mean that they're helpful. It's just that they're looking because
they know something is wrong.
Yes. So, yeah. But everybody was making sure I was okay. I couldn't complain.
We give God thanks for all of those persons that He would have placed in your life to give you the support and the encouragement, and the fact that you've recognized the need to seek God in every aspect of your life. And we give Him thanks for what He would have brought you through. And to look at where you were in terms of all of the medications and stuff you were taking, to now down to one, you don't need to inject with insulin. You can say that God has been indeed good to you. And this morning, we just want to give Him thanks and praise for what He has done in your life. And we are praying that, as you would have shared this morning, that it will really minister to somebody and bless them to know that even though that they're there, they can still seek God's direction in how to manage their situation. Because sometimes, you know, we look at the doctors and the doctors say this, so we say, yes. But He is the great physician. He has created us and designed us each unique. And we always need to seek His guidance in terms of what is best for His body that He created in us, you know. So this morning, I want to thank you, Rachel, for really sharing with us. And, you know, as we close, I really want to thank our listeners for tuning in. And again, our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, for their continued support of this radio broadcast. And as we close, I'm going to ask you to just pray for us as we go.
No problem. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've created. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to go through the things that we go through, not because you're punishing us, but because you want to make us stronger in you. You want us to rely on you more. I pray, God, that under the sound of my voice, those who are dealing with health issues, those who are dealing with whatever infirmities, Lord, I pray that they will place it into your hands. Lord, not just to anticipate full healing, but that they would remove their hands, their control from the situation, and allow you to guide them. Allow you to birth in them the strength to continue to use their situation to glorify your name, to exalt you, oh God, to let people know that despite this, my God is with me. My God is by my side. Emmanuel is with us. Yahweh, our Adonai. So, Lord, thank you for what you will do. Thank you for what you allow, that it would test us, that it would prove who you are in our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Our fear is gone.
call.